Thank you. So hi, everybody. Welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3. And you guys are doing great. As you know, I'm reading your journals, and you're really doing great. Tonight, though, at least in the beginning, I get to sit back and sip some Southern sweet tea because Kathy has the floor first. We were somewhere. I don't remember where we were. I think it was the weekly gathering. When Kathy mentioned that she had an email that she received from Michael Langford, you know, people comment from time to time about the fact that it's discouraging when teachers like Michael Langford say that only one in a million wake up. And Kathy also expressed once that she was, I don't know, frustrated by that or something. And Michael happened to hear her. She was teaching in the sanctuary and he listens from time to time. So he happened to hear her, and he wrote her an email. So she's going to share that email with us. And Kathy, I'm turning it over to you.
Thanks, Regina. Hi, everybody. It's good to see everybody. And yes, that was my experience. It's been, gosh, I don't know. Time goes by, a couple, 3 years now that happened. But I specifically remember actually where I was when I was feeling that discouragement. I was listening to recordings, but I was actually listening to teachings from both Elie Ruzdahr and Michael Langford on my dog walks. And this was when I was first introduced to the most direct means to eternal bliss and the astronomical numbers that were being quoted in that book in regards to who's going to wake up and who's not going to wake up didn't sit well with me. I definitely noticed in my mind, and I'll just tell you what those thoughts were because I still remember them now. I remember thinking to myself, if in fact he's saying that all thought is nothing, my mind was saying he's sharing this thought with me about it being very rare. I mean, very rare. And the number of zeros after the numbers, it was something I couldn't even comprehend. And so I had so much anger within me and so much like resistance to the truth of that statement. And I was misinterpreting it at the same time. But my mind was so noisy with rebutting what he was saying and not wanting to accept the means. He was giving the means, but I was picking apart of the pieces of the means that would fit how my ego wanted to interpret this direct path spiritual teaching. And so as I was going back through these emails that I kept, what I noted now was just how consistent he is in all of his messages. They're not about, his spiritual teachings, at least for me, are not about, for instance, explaining what A Course in Miracles means or explaining what Nisargadatta means by this quote. That's not the style of teaching, at least for me, that Michael Langford influenced me with. It was his consistent message that the intense desire for liberation has to be awakened by me. It's the only way it can happen. It doesn't happen from a teacher telling me something or Regina telling me something or Michael telling me something. It ultimately comes down to my choice every single time. And rather than taking responsibility for that at that time, my ego took a hold of what I didn't want to hear, that, you know, practice is essential. that I have to sit down and meditate, that I have to increase my desire for liberation by the various methods that he even shared in the beginning of, you know, the book that we're using now and told us to read, not just three times. He says, that's just for the general public. If you are a serious student and you really want to wake up to the truth of who you are, you'll read it hundreds of times. It won't seem like, you know, there's some guy, Michael Langford, telling me, how dare you, what I need to do, is what my ego was saying. The imposter self will use even the most direct paths and try to convince you that there are flaws in that too. It will nitpick anything it can for the purpose of continuing its own madness. And so Michael has a tendency to, when he writes, they're very, very long, repetitive, because that's what I needed. But one of the things that he said to me a long time ago was, and I'm not going to read it all because I had asked him some particular questions. And he said, this direct path is completely different from almost everything humans consider to be spirituality or spiritual teachings. On this direct path, the most important thing is the awakening of the extremely intense desire for bringing the ego illusion to a final end, which could be called the extremely intense desire for freedom, liberation, self-realization. That only happens if a human makes that happen. That only happens rarely to a human. For that to happen, a human must attempt to increase the intensity of the desire for freedom every day. And that's one of the things, I just didn't want to hear that. And so I turned it into something where I could see the teaching as being a problem, see the strictness of it in what it was asking as an obstacle that I couldn't manage that. I didn't have the time, or I didn't have the intensity, or I didn't have, you know, the love, as if it was a new lover and you wanted to spend every minute with that new lover. I just wasn't experiencing that at all. I was listening to that voice in the mind that wanted to be disappointed, to see myself as, that's not going to happen for me. This awakening thing is never going to happen for me. I'm amongst the masses that's not going to wake up. I'm one of those people. So that question of, well, why should we do this then? Why should we do this then? I mean, what's the point? And listening to Michael today, in several of his audios, reminded me that, you know, do I want to end suffering for myself? Do I want to end sorrow, depression, upset, anger, arrogance, you know, all of that? Do I really, really, truly want to put a final end to all of that? Or am I just lying to myself? He stressed how self-honesty is so critical. Because if we, and Elie Ruzdar would say that too, if you really don't want to do it, don't pretend like you want to do it and you're miserable the whole time you're doing it. There's no point to that. And so this self-honesty really does, in fact, come into it again and again and again. And rather than blaming and seeing the direct path teaching as the problem, I had to sit with all of those thoughts that were coming up, all of that resistance, all of that wanting to see and blame and listen to that voice and justify why I felt the way I did. And I was buying right into the continuation of the very thing that all these years of being on a spiritual path, I've been telling myself is the purpose for you know, wanting to end all that. I was lying to myself. I just didn't want to do the practice. I just didn't want to do the work, especially the way somebody else was telling me I had to do it. That was the bottom line. You know, that part of the Kathy personality that gets all, you know, all in a huff about somebody trying to tell me what I should do, and, you know, that authority problem that the Course talks about. You know, I don't need to listen to you. Why should I listen to you? You're just a guy I don't even know. How do I really know that what you're telling me is the truth? That's what my ego was saying. How do I know that this number that you're speaking of is accurate? I don't even know who you are. I just know your books. But obviously there was something within the books that kept me reading. I continued to read it. I continued to stay with it. I continued to see that resistance. But I just kept going. Because even if someone tells me that, and I see the thoughts come up, it's never enough that I stop. It just isn't. I notice the chatter. I might be with it for a while. And back then I was. I just kept going, though. I just kept going. And that's all I'm doing right now. I'm just keeping going. It's no different now than it was then, only I'm still following these direct path teachings. And we've been talking recently in some of the sharings about fear and the fear that comes up around this idea of really letting go of the imposter self, this self that I think that I am, and how that can be such an ego preservation strategy. And so he says, you know, that it only happens, this only happens if a human makes it happen. And it happens rarely to a human. For that to happen, a human must attempt to increase the intensity of the desire for freedom every day. It's like doubling the extremely intense desire for freedom, then making it 10 times as strong. Much later, a million times as strong. Then the extremely intense desire for freedom has as much intensity and energy as the sun, then as much intensity and energy as a trillion stars. Right from the beginning, even when the intensity of the desire for freedom is doubled and then made 10 times as strong, the human begins to see what they have never been able to see before. That desire for freedom brings a clarity that changes everything. It brings a self-honesty that changes everything. That extremely intense desire for freedom makes a person recognize what the true direct path is, and it also allows the human, for the first time in their lives, to see what Lao Tzu saw when he said, "Not all spiritual paths lead to the harmonious oneness. Indeed, most, that's italicized, most are detours and distractions, nothing more. The more hours a person sets aside for awareness, watching awareness practice, the more likely such practice is to continue in the dream and deep sleep states." And my question to him in this particular email was about dream and deep sleep states. He says, however, that doesn't matter at all, you know, whether the awareness, watching awareness, whether I'm aware that it's in the dream and deep sleep states, that doesn't matter at all. That questioning, that wanting to know, is an ego preservation strategy. Even though it seems like a good spiritual question or something that needs to be answered, it's not necessary. It's another preservation strategy of the ego to divert my attention from what I really need to be doing, which is practicing and spending time with myself, and putting the attention instead on, you know, the thinking and the questions that come up. And, you know, I'm sure each one of us have experienced that, the doubt, the fears, the detours, the teachers that say you don't have to practice, all of that goes on and gets the mind whirling once again. He goes on to say, and I'm scrolling down a little bit, most questions and answers will never lead a human to liberation. The key to success on this direct path is finding a way to increase the intensity of the desire for liberation every day. Prior to awakening the extremely intense desire for bringing the ego illusion to a final end, even if people study these direct path teachings, the goal of the ego illusion is to continue and not be brought to a final end. Then he says, suppose that a person has a fatal illness that is progressing rapidly. There's only one surgeon in the world who has successfully performed a surgery that cured this fatal illness. That surgeon is in San Francisco. If a person has the extremely intense desire to reach San Francisco as quickly as possible, they won't take any detours. They will not spend time thinking about this and that, or daydreaming about this and that. All of their thoughts and actions will be focused on how to get to San Francisco as quickly as possible with no detours or distractions. That extremely intense desire will make them find the most direct means to get to San Francisco as quickly as possible. And he shares that story. It's a simple story, but it absolutely goes right to the point. If I say, I really want to know in direct experience the truth of who I am, not this, not my personality, not what my thoughts are, you know, saying, not who I think I am. It's up to me. It's up to me. It's not up to anybody else. I still have to do the work. Past the doubt, past the fear, past the uncertainty, past the resistance, past the, you know, some days just not feeling like it. I'd rather watch tennis or whatever it might be. Just keep going. I just keep going. No matter what arises for me, I just keep going. And he's sweet in that he sent two more pages in the next couple of days past that, again saying the mind can generate an endless number of questions in order to create distractions and detours. And he says, because it's so rare in humans that the extremely intense desire for the final end of the ego illusion is awakened, it's very common for humans to generate many questions that have nothing to do with bringing the ego illusion to its final end as quickly and directly as possible. It is one of the ego's many tricks. And then the third one, the key words are purpose and practice and motivation. You know, what is my motivation? And be self-honest, what is my motivation? How motivated am I really? What am I really, really valuing? And I know what I'm valuing by what I do, by my actions in the course of a day, by whether I take the time or not. And so as much as I obviously wanted it to be something other than me that had to do the work, which is funny to me now, it is still the case that what he said 2 or 3 years ago and what Ellie Roostar said that I listened to 2 or 3 years ago, it's still as true today as it was then. And it's a blessing that those of us that are here are on the direct path. We are doing the work. And like Regina said, you know, every once in a while, we have to give ourselves a hand for doing it. Not be so hard on ourselves. To lift each other up and, you know, to know that we're all in this together, being supportive and loving and willing to go forward no matter what kind of bull is coming up or no matter what ego preservation strategies still seem to be in play. And he goes on to say, you know, there's so many deceptive layers to that imposter self that we are simply not aware of, that unless we're honest each and every day, that imposter self will in fact usurp the spiritual practice for its own preservation. And you know, you don't even notice. It just is like whoosh. It's like a tsunami some days, the flood of thoughts that come into the mind that we allow to stay there with our believing attention rather than turning back and away from that intensity and directing that same attention to the background of awareness, which is unaffected. So I just wanted to say that I appreciate all of you staying with this direct path, even when you may experience some of the same thoughts that I have, you know, like, who's this guy to tell me and why should I listen to him? And that's just another thought. He's saying, don't believe thoughts. Isn't that just another thought? And, you know, all of that that comes up, who does that serve? He says, ask yourself, who would be motivated to ask those questions, to not believe the direct path quotes, to have the doubts, to delay the practice, to say no, to think something else is more important, to run to another teacher, to avoid what you're being asked to do, to avoid the means? Who would that be? Who would have that motivation? And it's always an easy answer. It's not so easy maybe when you're in the thick of it, but for most of us at this point, the thick of it doesn't last as long. The self-inquiry comes in right away. The tools we've been practicing and using have formed new neural pathways and grooves, and so they jump into the awareness quicker than they used to. The length of time spent in a funk isn't quite as long. The reflection of what I even considered 3 years ago and how I think about it now, the contrast between A and B, looking at that is helpful in seeing the progress, even if it's slow and prodding, which mine seems to be. All of that is helpful in motivating and keeping going. You know, simple things, reading slowly. How hard is that? I mean, how much can we argue about that? Or reading several times. Why is there such huge resistance to that? Because I want to do something else, basically. I mean, that's the honesty. I'd rather go do something else, something that seems more exciting, that seems more rewarding, even if it's a temporary reward. Sometimes that's still the case. Yet, I know it's a temporary reward, And so those types of activities are much less than they used to be, and I'm still working on it. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. A ways to go in increasing my intense desire for liberation. But I'm still here, and I'm still showing up, and I just wanted to share that with all of you guys. So I'm gonna let it go at that. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. That was brilliant. And my guess is you're not going to fall asleep tonight. You're all jazzed up now. You're probably going to have to watch TV after Gentle Healing just to calm down enough to go to sleep. That was brilliant. Thank you. And while I was listening to Kathy, you know, she really kind of motivated me. There was something I happened to write this morning in my Gentle Healing, my Seven Steps Contemplation, which is up around 890 or something. But it's something that really motivates me, and I'm going to share it with you all. What it is, it's a change to the lyrics. You know, the song, The Impossible Dream, it's that song with the lyrics slightly changed, which really talks about how important this quest of awakening is for me. And it seems to fit very much with the oomph that Kathy just shared. So let me share my screen, and I will share the song with you. Let me go back. Let me stop sharing. I'm not sure if I shared the sound. Let me do that again. I didn't. Good thing I went back. All right. Move you guys out of my way. And, well, shoot. Where did it go? Oh, it's here. Okay, good. So this is the song, but I'm not going to stay on the song. I'm going to change over to the lyrics that I wrote this morning. It's almost the same lyrics, so when you pay attention, you'll notice I changed just a little bit of the lyrics, so you won't be reading the exact same words that you'll be hearing, but I think you'll see why I changed the lyrics. So let me start the song.
The unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to fight the unbeatable foe, to reach the unreachable star.
Okay, there we go. But you know, sometimes this does seem like a long journey. Sometimes. Sometimes what we see is the progress, right? But I think it's really helpful to to be willing to just stay. I mean, I think I'm going to go back and share my screen again. I think I'm going to go back to my journal if you guys don't mind. Let's look at what I wrote just before I put that song in there. That was 891B, so 891A. I want to enjoy this journey, because enjoying the journey, loving the journey like I love a hike up a mountain, will enable me to stick with it day after day and hour after hour. However, I am not meditating for the sheer enjoyment of it. This is serious business. If the sages are telling the truth, all of my life I have been fooled by a grand illusion. My senses have deceived me. My mind has lied to me. I've been lost, and I didn't even know it. Now my heart cries out for truth, and it feels like it would be a shame to die a physical death without ever realizing the heart of what's true. So yes, I want to enjoy this journey, but I want to remember what an important journey it is too. I want to dedicate myself to it, like I am dedicating myself to the most important mission that any human has ever dedicated herself to, because it is the most important mission that any human has ever dedicated herself to. So I think that kind of says it all. I think that's what Kathy was saying too. So thank you, Kathy. Let's see, we have about 25 minutes left, and I won't be able to go over all of the things that I had planned to go over. I don't know if plan is the right word. I kind of knew when I was collecting the stuff that I wouldn't be able to go over it all. Whenever I see something that I feel to share, I write it down. So we'll see which ones kind of jump out at me to share now. But again, I just want to let you guys know that I really appreciate your journals. I really appreciate the clarity that you are bringing to yourself in your journals. It's really important from my perspective. Reading is one thing. Of course, this is what step one is all about. Reading is one thing. Listening to teachers is one thing. But really going within yourself and not just the meditation, but the contemplation. And right now I'm really talking about the contemplation, motivating yourself through your own inner guidance is critical. No one can motivate you like your inner teacher, right? However that inner teacher comes through, that's its own type of direct experience. And it really can touch your heart like nothing else can. So I really appreciate that you all are going in and you're contemplating these quotes and you're writing down whatever comes, because it is going to change things for you. In fact, I think it was Kathy I commented to once that contemplating the seven steps to awakening prepares you to contemplate the seven steps to awakening. The second time you go through these quotes, you're going to see things you missed the first time. When I go back and I look at my journal now, I'm reading the quotes in the morning with you guys, and then I look at my step one journal, and I'm like, oh my God. And I was doing my very, very best then. But you know, you've heard the saying, your best gets better, right? And it really does. So when you go through these quotes, then if you choose to go through them again, which is actually what Michael Langford recommends at the beginning, you're going to see these quotes differently. And I'm sure you all have had the same experience with like A Course in Miracles or NTI or Inner Ramana or something else. But it's the same thing with these quotes. We have no idea how much our ego is blinding us to what's right in front of our face. Just no idea at all. But when you go back through the quotes again next year, if you choose to do that, you'll be able to look back and you'll see, oh, that's what the quote was saying. And I projected it to say this, you know, because that's what I was ready for at the time, which is fine, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But as we move through this process and really stick with it, just like Michael Langford said, it's getting through those layers and layers of ego defense. So as some of these layers are removed, and then if you choose to go through the book a second time, you'll be able to see more directly what the quotes were saying than you were the first time you went through the book. And Cheryl says, I'm already experiencing that. Sometimes I start with a few quotes before the one I'm currently on, and it's like I never read it over and over again. Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. So let me look at my notes from the week and see what we want to spend this little bit of time on. I think what I'll do first is just look at where there were particular quotes I kind of wanted to go over again. We'll start with that. So one of the quotes I wanted to look at again was number 81. Oh, yes. Kathy's laughing too. Yeah, this is a pretty good quote, huh? You want immediate results. We do not dispense magic here. Everybody does the same mistake. Refusing the means, but wanting the ends. I think Kathy just talked about that. you know, it is just our resistance. No matter what it appears to be, you know, for me, it appeared to be busy. For some people, it appears to be sick. For some people, it appears to be, you know, I don't know, laziness. You know, I can't list the gamut of how resistance shows up. For some people, it appears to be preferring to be entertained. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you guys can think of other types of resistance that keep you from meditating every day. You know, if you can, feel free to just type in sleep, wanting to sleep. Yeah, in fact, that one got me for a few years. That one died earlier than some of the others, but that one got me for a few years, was wanting to sleep. Another thing that used to get me was watching TV at night, but watching TV so late that I couldn't get up early enough in the morning to meditate, right? You know, there's just a ton of stuff. I have only, in the last couple of weeks, started meditating 2 to 3 hours every day. That's new for me. And I'm really happy to be there. But I said to my friends today, do you know how amazing that is, that I'm meditating 2 to 3 hours a day now? When I first started this process, I was reading Michael Langford's books. I was contemplating the 7 steps to awakening probably 3 years before I closed my eyes even once, you know? And then finally, when I did start closing my eyes, I fell asleep every time within 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And now I'm finally up to fairly easily 2 to 3 hours a day. It's not even a challenge. Just the 2 or the 3 hours comes from what I have to do that day or what I have time for. But what I have done is I have stopped refusing the means. I've accepted the means, which I think is also what Kathy was really talking about. I've accepted the means. You know, if I wanted to get from here to La Vida, which I will be doing tomorrow, get from here to La Vida, and somebody said to me, well, you have to get in your car and drive up this road and then turn right and drive down the interstate. And I'm like, I don't want to drive down the interstate. You know, I want to go to La Vida, but I don't want to drive down the interstate. You know, in fact, somebody said something very similar to that as that to me today in a different conversation. It's just like, well, then you must not want to go to La Vida, because there really isn't another way to get there from here unless you want to go all the way around the mountains. You could do that. But if you want to go to La Vida without going all the way around the mountains, that's a long trip. You have to go down the interstate. There aren't any country roads that go there from here. Well, you know, I want to go to La Vida, but I don't want to go down the interstate. I think I said that for years, you know, talking about this. And what has happened is I have finally accepted that the way to genuinely awaken to the absolute is to close my eyes. And as Nisargadatta says, try. Just keep trying. You know, and one questioner said to him, but I've tried and I failed. And Nisargadatta said, try again. And I also find that the only way to do it is every day. Now, occasionally, like you said, when you're on vacation with the family and you're in a motel room, you might not be able to. And we all get that. But on a normal basis, every day. Because what happens when you skip one day?
You skip the next day.
You skip the next day. That's exactly what happens. You know, in fact, if for some reason you can't meditate for 2 or 3 hours, if you can at least do half an hour on those days, half an hour is better than skipping entirely, right? Because you get enough into it that you remain motivated. Oh, yeah. Carla's, that's very cute, Carla. Carla's commenting on how I said you have to take the interstate to La Vida. She says, it's like going on the inner state, I-N-N-E-R. That's very cute. Thank you. So if we want this awakening at some point or another, you know, we'll finally realize that we have to do what these guys are telling us to do. You know, we really do. We at some point just have to sit down and close our eyes and start going within every day as much as we can. And we will get there. You know, if you aren't there yet, you will get there. And I will say that what helped me was the two retreats that we did recently at the retreat house. The self-inquiry retreat that we did in January and then the natural meditation retreat in February. It's kind of funny. We always say that whatever you teach, you know, you're teaching yourself. Well, I definitely taught myself. Because after those retreats, my meditation time has doubled easily. So if you get the chance to come to the retreat house, you might find that when you go home, there has been enough of a shift that you're able to accept these means a little more than you were before. I also think it's really interesting, this quote, how he says everybody does the same mistake. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's kind of important too. That goes back to why only one in a million wake up, right? Everybody wants to awaken, but nobody wants to sit down and do the work. You want immediate results. We do not dispense magic here. Everybody does the same mistake, refusing the means but wanting the ends. So let's see what other quotes here I wanted to go back and look at. 82, which is right next one. I cannot solve your problem by mere words. You have to act on what I told you and persevere. It is not right advice that liberates, but the action based on it. In NTI Matthew, there's a sentence which I'll share with you in a minute, but there used to be this guy named Ken. I can't remember his last name, but he used to teach from NTI and ACI and Gather, and he would read this sentence every week, and he called this the Spirit's Admonition. I remember that. This is the Spirit's Admonition. And this is the line. It's from NTI Matthew 7. Do not take my words lightly and without practice. For to listen and to agree, but not to practice, is not to have heard. And one who will not hear cannot be healed. Read that again. Do not take my words lightly without practice. For to listen and to agree, but not to practice, is not to have heard. And one who will not hear cannot be healed. And again, Nisargadatta says, I cannot solve your problem by mere words. You have to act on what I told you and persevere. It is not right advice that liberates, but the action based upon it. The next quote I had highlighted, number 95. Oh, yeah, I love this quote, too. This is a very important quote. Some events purify the mind and some stain it. Moments of deep insight and all-embracing love purify the mind, while desires and fears, envies and anger, blind beliefs and intellectual arrogance pollute and dull the psyche. In the MPP Buddhist class that we teach, Thich Nhat Hanh talks about nutriments. Nutriments, I don't know if that's a real word or not, I never tried looking it up, but what he means by nutriments are things that we touch with our consciousness. And he talks about some nutriments are wholesome and some nutriments are unwholesome, which is the same here. Some purify the mind and some stain it. And he talks about how if we're really interested in this awakening process, one of the things we need to do in our life is to spend more time with wholesome nutriments, more time with wholesome nutriments, like, you know, contemplating these quotes. These would be wholesome nutriments. And we need to clear away the unwholesome nutriments in our minds. And, you know, some unwholesome nutriments can be as simple as some of the television programs that we watch. You know, I've had people tell me more than once that, you know, they'll watch a TV program and go to bed and have a nightmare. I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't be watching that television program. You know, maybe, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, some people certainly, you know, have a few too many drinks, a few too often, you know. Smoke a little too much pot here in Colorado. You know, it's a matter of looking at our daily habits in a genuine way and saying, is this helping my awakening or hurting my awakening? Right? Am I doing, in this case, using Nisargadatta's term, he says, what you cannot undo what you've done. So the doing happens in the good nutriments. It's the progress you make. And the undoing happens when you're getting back into the poor nutriments again. So am I doing or am I undoing with this activity that I'm choosing right now? Now, again, there are things, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood, although I can't really control that, but there are things like right now I am reading Wicked. and the reason I'm reading Wicked is because my family, Jasmine and Ron and I, are reading the book and then going to the musical in June. So this is something I'm doing with my family. And so I'm reading Wicked. I only do it in the evening time or on weekends. You know, I don't do it in the morning time ever or anything like that. But there are some things that we're going to do because we're doing them like with our families, if you're in a family. You know, you may be sitting and watching a program with your family because you're being with your family. And I understand all of that. I'm not really talking about these things that in order to not do them, your family would feel abandoned or unloved. I'm talking about the things you're choosing, you know, that you don't have to choose. You know, like when are you the one suggesting that we watch this R-rated violent movie that has no spiritual purpose to it, you know? You know, watch the choices that you are making. But I do understand, you know, for many of us, we are householders, we have families, and we do things with our families, and that's cool. You know, but pay attention to what you're doing, and are you staining or purifying your mind through what you're doing? And again, he mentions other things here as well, your desires. You know, your family has nothing to do with your desires. That's purely within you. What are you desiring? Your fears, your family, believe it or not, even though you may fear about them, they have nothing to do with your fears. You know, those fears are purely within you. Your envies, your anger, your blind beliefs, your intellectual arrogance, right? So all of these things, it's easier said than done, but it can be done. Choose to let them go. You know, choose to not be interested in your desires. Choose to not believe your fears. Choose to be completely uninterested in your envies. Choose to inquire into your anger. Choose to pray that you will see your blind beliefs. and choose to drop intellectual arrogance the moment you hear it coming out of your mouth or see the thought flying through your head. So great quote. Some events purify the mind and some stain it. Moments of deep insight and all-embracing love purify the mind. While desires and fears, envies and anger, blind beliefs and intellectual arrogance pollute and dull the psyche. Let's see, number 99 I wanted to revisit. Mere listening, even memorizing, is not enough. If you do not struggle hard to apply every word of it in your daily life, don't complain that you made no progress. This is it's a great quote. And sometimes people don't like quotes because of words like struggle hard. But in my experience, that's fair. That's fair, because you don't let go of these deep-rooted beliefs without some struggle. Just like if you were an alcoholic, you don't let go of being an alcoholic without some struggle, right? When you have these deeply entrenched habits that are not at all helpful, and you know that they're not at all helpful, for some reason, you still have to struggle to let them go. You can't just go, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore, you know, a lot of the time. So it's very, very honest is the way I perceive these words. And I also think if you do not struggle hard to apply every word of it, I think that's also very fair. You know, if we go picking and choosing the parts of these teachings that we want to apply and the parts that we don't want to apply, I don't think we're going to get there. You know, I want to choose the right to be politically angry, you know, because that's important. Well, maybe not. Maybe you're just choosing the right to hold on to some of your beliefs in some places, right? I had here to go look at the RDA journal for 99. So let's go. Oops, I should share my screen. I don't know what I have here in the RDA journal, but I have a note. So let's go look at it. Seven steps. Oh, yes, I remember. The seven steps to awakening suggests reading the quotes and what is written about the quotes hundreds of times. This sounds like an enormous effort, but in truth, this effort is minuscule and on its own, nothing. The purpose for the recommended repetition is to help replace habitual and seemingly automatic ego perceptions and thinking with perceptions and thinking meant to undo ego. However, in order to undo ego, decision-making and action or non-action must follow the introduced ideas instead of the habitual ways of perceiving and thinking. If habits are maintained even as new ideas are read and reread hundreds of times, no ego undoing occurs. Even if new ideas are shared and talked about, no undoing occurs without consistent implementation of those ideas. Old ego maintenance habits must be dropped if ego is to be undone. I don't think there's anything to say about that. I think that's pretty clear. So I'll just read the quote again. Mere listening, even memorizing, is not enough. If you do not struggle hard to apply every word of it in your daily life, don't complain that you made no progress. I guess I want to comment on what's not here. It doesn't say, if you do not struggle hard to be absolutely perfect in applying every word, right? We all fail, if I can say that word without the I am bad thought getting involved. We all fail sometimes. We all make mistakes. We all don't live up to what we would hope that we lived up to. But the point is the continuing to try, right? The continuing to try. And again, you all know this, but I'll just say it. Don't beat yourselves up for those failures, right? You're learning. Let's see. We have 2 minutes left. Let me see what else I had in my notes. Oh, this is important. this is about coming into the next week. I don't remember exactly which day, but I told you all that we would typically be contemplating 4 quotes a day, but that's not always. Typically, it always are not the same thing. So if you're just in the habit of doing the 4 quotes a day, pay attention to the daily posts, because one day coming up, there's a really, really long quote. It's like half a page. It's quote 105. It's a very long quote. And so what I've done is I have you contemplating only quote 105 on that particular day. And then the next day you do 3 quotes, 106, 107, and 108. So every now and then, because every now and then there is a really long quote. And when we have really long quotes, I will shorten the number of quotes you contemplate that day. So again, make sure you pay attention to the daily post. It will tell you what quotes to contemplate that day. On most days, it is 4, but not on all days. And let me just share my screen one more time. I want to show you just quickly. If you look right here at my notes, I want to show you all the things that I was going to go over that I didn't. But, you know, you'll notice, like, I was going to go over Lynn, number 64, Jill, number 74, Mark, number 74, I mean, Teresa, 73 to 76, Kate, we did 81 and 82, 84, and this, I think I missed that one. Let me look at 84 real quick. That was just a quote itself I wanted to review, and I didn't want to miss any of those. Oh, now I know nothing, for all knowledge is in dream only and not valid. And what I have written here, questions that we can ask ourselves, do I think I know the people in my life? Because he says all knowledge is in dream and not valid. Do I think I know the people in my life? Do I think I know what to expect in a specific circumstance? Where does this knowledge come from? The past? Is it therefore valid, right? Be fresh, open, watching, follow present intuition without attaching to ideas from the past. But these first two questions I think are important. Do I think I know the people in my life? Do I think I know what I can expect in a specific circumstance? Because he says, now I know nothing, for all knowledge is in dream only and not valid. But also you can see I had Bev here, Francine, Mark again, Kate again, Jay a couple of times, Lene. So I just wanted to show you guys that I am definitely reading your journals, and I always see things that I feel like are worth sharing with everyone, even though I didn't have time to get to that tonight. And I wanted to say thank you to these individuals, even though I didn't have a chance to read what I was planning to read. So thank you very much, everyone. And I'll see you again next Tuesday night. Bye.